What's good, everyone? Welcome back to My First Kicks. This is episode 137, and this week we welcome Uncle Chrissy to the podcast. Now, Uncle Chrissy is a great resource in terms of just trying to help get regular retail pairs of sneakers on Twitter. He hosts drops, Twitter space drops so that everybody can collect at the same time or cop at the same time. He hosts rooms, and he's just an incredible resource for people who are just getting into sneakers or, you know, continuously growing their collection. He helps people manually cop, and I just reached out and really wanted to have him on. As an early adopter of the Sneaker News Discord, I learned about Uncle Chrissy and all of Sneaker News efforts to, you know, breathe and create community. So, you know, it really just influenced me to just hit him up and wanted him to just be on an episode. I mean, listen, I have lots of troubles. And if you've seen my recent TikTok, talk about my time at the Crenshaw Skate Club pop-up shop that was during this week. And, oh man, it was not a great time for me per se. You know, I just don't like my time being wasted. And if you've seen the video, I think a lot of other people didn't like that their time was being wasted as well. You know, I'd rather if someone can just be upfront with me and tell me, you know, we have a list here. Oh, you're not going to be able to get a pair. Don't wait after 3 o'clock. You know, I put 3 hours of just standing around when there was only like 6 people there. And the security guards were just like ushering people to the across the street just to keep the people that were in front of the store closer to the store so that they can get their pairs. Like, it was not a good time. I was extremely frustrated, and you know, I'll just leave that in the past. I mean, it was really cool. Me and Toby from Crenshaw Skate Club followed the podcast. So if you listen to this, shout out to you, Toby. Shoes great. Merch, I'm rocking the merch right now. Merch is great, and love what you're doing. So for those who just saw the fight and think that that's how every single New York release goes, it's not true. People are very passionate, and resellers really, you know, want to put food on the table, I guess, and make sure that they get that hype release so they can get the extra shekels that are on top of that shoe. And sometimes it just leads to fights. So shout out to everybody I talked to a couple people on there. I wish I didn't bring on the line. I didn't bring any stickers with me, which was a dumb move. So I would have passed them out. And I mean, I'm not jumping on any lines ever again. Probably it will just be if I can walk in and cop, or if I can get them online, it would probably be that, because time is money, and wasting my time it just felt like the last straw for me. But on to where you can find Uncle Chrissy. You can find Uncle Chrissy on Twitter at @uncle_chrissy. Hit him up and, you know, tell him you found him through the podcast. Hit up the Discord, the Sneaker News Discord. It's really cool. Lots of community based there. I'm not very active in there, but I am in there. You can add me and I'll be like, what up? And also, you know where to find your boy. I am Who Is Haas on all social media. Follow the podcast at My First Kicks Pod. Follow the podcast subscribe to the podcast on YouTube. My First Kicks Pod. No, My First Kicks on YouTube. And also TikTok. Please, I'm trying to get this YouTube up to 1,000. Please watch all my videos. Please watch all my shorts. I would greatly appreciate it. And it would be a big help. Once we get to that 1,000, I'm putting a lot of work into it, into the YouTube. I got to start making other content on there. Maybe we'll see, you know, the shorts is up there. I'm trying my best. But if you have any suggestions, hit me up. And if you have a My First Kick story, hit me up. MyFirstKicksPod@gmail.com. Probably make like a short about it too as well. So hit your boy up. And on to this week's guest, Uncle Chrissy. Hey, Uncle Chrissy, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, man, thanks a lot, man. Appreciate you reaching out and giving me the chance to come on here with you.
No, yeah, I mean, you know, we connected in a spaces with Sneaker Fetish, a.k.a. Kari. Well, no, I think that's Kari, a.k.a. Sneaker Fetish. But he hosted a space and I jumped on and we kind of like went back and forth. And I don't know if anybody was interested in our origins of me being like, yo, yeah, I'm on the sneaker on Sneaker News Discord. And you were like, oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that was cool, man. Kari's a good dude. I think that was the one where we talked about the Air Force One project, right?
Yes, that one.
Yeah. He was cool, man. We reached out, set that up. And it's just cool to see how small the internet really is and how people kind of, you know, come together.
Yeah, I mean, it's really cool. I think that, you know, the Sneaker News Discord, I jumped in super early because I had on Michael Lee? Lay?
Yeah, Michael, yeah, the blog writer?
Yeah. I had him on an episode and we were talking. And then after that, I saw that because I usually mainly go on Sneaker News for like my sneaker news. I don't know what to say, but I usually go on there. And so I saw that you guys had a Discord and I was just like, all right, let me jump in and start to try to push the podcast on there. And
yeah,
nobody was like, oh man, this is interesting.
How early did you get in? When were you on? Were you part of the team early thing?
I don't know if I was team or maybe a little bit after. It was right before the sneaker NFTs started coming out.
But I
jumped in like right there, and then because that was when his episode came out, and then as like the Discord just became like I just kept getting notifications like, yo, get into this mint, get into this. And I was just like, all right, let me step back on this one. But yeah.
Honestly, it's a really cool project. I was, you know, kind of the same thing. I had been following Sneaker News and Kickfinder for a minute, and I think I just happened to be messing around on Twitter one day, and I saw literally the first tweet for the group that was, jump in our Discord, and here we are. And, you know, I met some really cool people along the way and ended up actually becoming part of the team. So it's been really cool, man. I think it's kind of like the cutting edge, I think, for what, you know, Sneaker Cops can be in the future. So it's
definitely a cool
project to be a part of.
No, yeah. I mean, the cool things about being within that community is like, you know, Sneaker News does do drops for sneakers and like, you know, you get a chance to get something that was like, oh, you struck out on, but then you get a chance to get it now, you know? So, yeah. But for people who aren't familiar with you, how about you introduce yourself?
Yeah, sure. My name's Uncle Chrissy Christian. I am the community manager for the Sneaker News Discord server, Sneaker Friends, as we call it. I'm also a blog writer for Site Supply. I've been with those guys for a little bit and started doing some blog work with them. And, you know, now just trying to branch out, meet some more people, and been loving sneakers since, you know, a very, very early age. And I'm quite frankly running out of storage space in my house, so I need to reel it back in a little bit. But it's just cool to be able to get together with cool people and talk about kicks.
No, yeah, I mean, it's funny because like it's something that, you know, growing up that people were just calling us nerds for, and now we're spending 6 hours talking about it every day.
Right? People build like $1,000 pieces of software to actually go after it, and yeah, it's crazy. It's a $1 billion industry, and yeah, it's nuts.
Yeah, for sure.
It's cool to see that.
But let's pivot right into the question that I ask everybody each week.
Yeah,
and that
sure.
question is, what's your first kicks? What's that first pair of sneakers that you absolutely needed to have?
So I actually have, there's two that really, really got me into sneakers. So when I was a kid, I think I was in third grade, and it was the Bo Jackson, man, the Air Trainer the SC, the Auburn colorway with the orange. And my parents got me that as like, you know, my back to school kicks for the year. And I ran them down, man. They couldn't tell me nothing with those on. I was wearing them every day. But my uncle was actually a he's a junior college football coach. It was kind of like they're one of the feeder programs for like some big name Division I schools. So he was kind of plugged in. And, you know, he had a friend that ran, I think, a sporting goods store in town. So he just always had stacks of sneakers in his closet. And one day we were over at their house for, you know, hanging out at the pool or whatever. And he just pulled out the Carolina blue colorway of the same Bo Jackson trainer.
Wow.
And I was like, he was like, here you go. And I was like, wait a minute, wait, whoa, whoa. Same shoe, different color. And like, that was it. Like, that was the moment that really, really hooked me in. I was like, my young mind was blown a little bit. But then after that, that was the one that hooked me. But the one that really got me on the hunt for the first time was the Sean Kemp Instapump.
Oh,
remember,
wow.
The Fury that had the little CO2 cartridge?
Mm-hmm.
I had my mother driving all over the city trying to find me those things. We went to malls, you know, hour, 2 hours away trying to find him. I'd find him in the store. I got the sneaker, but couldn't get the Instapump. Mm-hmm. Then the Instapumps would burn out after like two uses.
Yeah.
So I ended up having to get like a six pack of them from the old East Bay catalog. Mm-hmm. And but yeah, that was the one that really got me on the hunt. Like, Mom, we got to go here. We got to go there. We were calling stores, driving all over upstate New York trying to find them. I think she hated me for it, but I think she was low-key into it too, you know? trying to find it, but. Yeah, those are the ones that really started it for me, man.
I'm trying to find like a description of the Sean Kemp Instapumps, and it's just the D Browns, right?
No. I think it was called the Fury. The Sean Kemp. Yeah, Reebok Instapump Fury.
Let me see.
Hang on, let me see if I can
Instapump Fury. Cause like I can
read
about
the black and white shoe.
Oh, maybe it's this one. I mean, it says he has a... No, this is just a kamikaze. It's not it. Sorry for the listeners, but... they did re-retro it. It's on sale right now. I see it, what you're talking about. Let me see if I can... The Reebok Instapump Fury Zone.
Yeah.
Let's see. But this one doesn't come with no cartridges. Probably because they fixed the tech on it.
Yeah, it was, you know, the Instapump wasn't all it was cracked out to be. You know, yeah. It gave you a little bump in the tongue, and that was about it. But those things burned out so fast. Like, you could use them like literally twice, and that was about it for you.
Let me just read a synopsis of the Bo Jacksons to the listeners. And the 2009 release, is that right?
Oh, God, no. This was probably the original release. I think this was probably the, when I was in third grade, so this was probably like the original 1990 release, give or take. I know I'm probably dating myself a little bit there, but...
It's all good.
Yeah. Yeah, this was like the actual when they first dropped, man.
All right, so I'm going to read... Look, we're going all this back and forth, but I'm going to just read this one. I'm going to read this one for the listeners. It is the 2009 release, though, but it talks about the 90s in it. All right, so Nike's... This is not, for the listeners, this is not the pair that Uncle Chrissy got, but this is just the 2009 release of it. It's almost the same shoe. I'm pretty sure they like either they upgraded or downgraded the material. So take with this with a grain of salt. But Nike pays homage to their renowned training shoe classics from the 90s. Bo Jackson's Air Trainers SC High was built to handle rigorous cross-training workout programs for multiple sports, featuring leather and nubuck construction with a high-top design. That adds great ankle support. Equipped with University of Auburn team colors, the Bo Jackson also implements perforated panels on the toe, quarter panel, and heel for increased breathability. And
yeah,
I mean, the classic, like in the 2000s, you had to have the Charles Woodson.
That was what it was about. Yeah.
But the Charles Woodson Raiders jersey and the black and gray Bo Jackson's. Everybody had that.
Hell yeah, man. It was funny. I actually went into, a Finish Line to pick up, I think it was the military blacks that I hit for the in-store. And they actually, I think they retroed them like maybe a year or two ago, whenever that was, the Bo Jackson's. And I saw them sitting there. They had him in my size. And I was like, It's like, you know, I'm a little bit older now. I probably won't get any use out of them. I probably won't run them that much. So I ended up passing on them. And like every day I think about it, I'm like, man, that was the shoe you should have just gotten, like stuck it up on the shelf or something like that.
No, yeah. I mean, it's a great shoe. I think it's definitely because, I mean, look, I've said it here tons of times. Like, I'm a sucker for Knicks colorway, even though this is not technically Knicks colorway.
Yeah, close enough.
Yeah, I'm like, I would go to a Knicks game in these, like, because
are you a Knicks fan?
Yeah, I'm a Knicks fan.
Okay, so I grew up a Knicks fan too, and and I hate Michael Jordan, man. I really do. But somehow I still ended up, you know, I think Knicks fans should you know, respectfully bow out of the Jordans.
Listen, I mean, what are we going to do? We're going to wear Ewings?
I'm not going to wear no Ewings, man. I remember like a minute. I remember kids pulling up with those at school. I'm like, man, them Ewings are tight. But I feel you, man.
I couldn't hate Jordan. I only got to watch him play on TV a couple times. I mean, I was like 7 or 6. But like, for me, it was, I would never wear Kobe's because he used to kill the Knicks. Like, I was like, I would never wear Kobe's. And here I am. I have like 4 pairs of Kobe's. So,
nice. Yeah, it was hard, man. It was hard growing up a Knicks fan in the Jordan era. Like, you just knew the Eastern Conference Finals. That was it for you.
It was that, like, that, see, peak like Knicks rivalries was during that time, like the 90s, 2000s of you know, you get the back and forth. The teams were competitive. Like, you know, it wasn't like going to be a straight blowout, but like it was like everybody was our rival. And then once after, you know, the Anthony Masons and everybody bounced, like my favorite player is Larry Johnson. So like once Larry Johnson bounced and it started, the team just started declining. Marcus Camby came through and like, it was just like, oh man, are we starting to fail? And then you just like, then they pick up Stephon and you're like, yeah, we're going down, bro.
Yo, it's funny you say Larry Johnson's your favorite player. I know this is a little bit off topic from sneakers, but I actually went to UNLV. I went to college there, and at graduation, there was this big old tall dude sitting in front of me, and I'm like, yo, who is this dude, and why wasn't he on our basketball team? Larry Johnson came back to actually get his degree.
Wow.
He rose in front of me at graduation and was like the, you know, honorary speaker for the day. It was pretty cool.
That's sick. I mean, that's one dude I want to meet and, like, talk to for a little bit. I mean, I used to be, like, on the court, like, and throwing up L's, not knowing that it meant like throwing up the L and not knowing that meant for Larry Johnson, and people would ask me like, why you keep putting up the L? And I was just like, you know, because I just hit that shot on you. You know what I mean? Like, I had no great explanation for it, but I was still throwing it up, and it's funny. But where did you originally grow up?
So I grew up in upstate New York, a place called Troy. I grew up there. Ended up going to college, moving out west, went to UNLV, moved out a little bit further, and then now I live in the DMV area, a little bit outside of DC.
Mm-hmm. And you're like, what was it like? I mean, you talked about getting the bug early, so like, what were you doing to get sneakers at such a young age, or like, and like, what was your style like back then?
So back then, so my dad was a cook in a restaurant, and I think when I was the age of 12, he was like, hey, guess what? We got a new dishwasher. And I was like, who? He's like, get your coat. I was washing dishes for like $30 a day. But, you know, you're 13 years old, 14 years old.
That's high for child labor.
Exactly, man. Yeah. You know, you're young. You're like 13, 14 in the 90s. You know, you make like $60 in a weekend. You could save up for a pair of sneakers pretty quick back then.
Yeah.
But back then, I was into a lot of Air Maxes, like Triax. I was into some of the Tailwind series, the TR, the Tuned Airs. They were pretty cool. It was mostly Air Maxes. And then over time, you know, I wasn't really into it for a little bit, but then,
Was there a sneaker community that you were a part of during that time as well?
Or not really. Like in my school, you know, it was basically kids just, you know, getting sneakers and stuff for school, but I was always kind of like, you know, always checking out everybody's feet around school. You know, my cousin was kind of into it. You know, he was a little bit older than me. He was kind of like an older brother figure to me. And he always had the fresh Jordans. And, you know, I always wanted to get that. But, you know, my family couldn't really go for those things. And that's why I ended up trying to get a job to supplement those things and be able to do what I want to do for myself. So in a way, that kind of, you know, instilled the hustler's mentality in me, you know, in a very early age from wanting to go after that stuff. And now that I'm, you know, I'm in a little bit older in life, I'm in a better place, you know, financially, so I can actually go back and, you know, kind of relive my childhood, so to speak.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of what it's like right now. But yeah, having my older cousin there was definitely cool. You know, he kind of influenced me a lot with sneakers. I remember he had the infrared sixes. That was a big one that kind of got the bug in me. But, you know, I'm not as tall as he is, so the sixes just don't look good on me. It's not one that I can pull off. Like, I tried to do it a couple times. You know, for the most part, I stick to low tops nowadays, though.
Nah, yeah, I mean, I go through phases, and, like, you know, sometimes you get the itch to be like, you know what, I'm going to cop the high tops. And then, I mean, I was, for the longest, when I first got into SBs, the longest, I was like, it's only SB highs. It's only, like, like, it's only SB highs. I never bought a low. And then I finally bought a low. And then I was just like, all right, it's only lows now. And then you go through, like, your little phases and being like, you know, you get, I mean, I think that with sneakers, everybody has, like, a moment of elitism. You'd be like, you know, like, I think, like, you know, especially where there's people like who only into Jordans, would be like, yeah, it's Jordans and nothing. You wearing Air Maxes? That's trash. Like, I wear Jordans. I got one through, you know, whatever. Yep. And then once you start getting, like, once you start seeing that it's bigger, there's a more community, that people start being like, all right, let me try these out. All right, let me try these out. Yeah. So
yeah, that's one thing that really gets me when people pull that. Oh, you're not a sneakerhead if you don't wear this or you don't wear that. I'm like, stop it. Will you please? Like, it's a mentality. But I know what you mean. It's like, it's like kind of cyclical. You know what I mean? Like, for a while, you know, you only want to wear some high top. I was pretty much doing exclusively Jordan 1s for a while. And nowadays, like, I've kind of sworn off Jordan 4s altogether. Like, I don't really see myself wearing those anymore.
They're That's my favorite model, man.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Honestly, I just don't find it comfortable. I really don't. Like, that's
that's me with the 11. I'm the same. I'm the 11? Same with the 11. Yeah, I don't. I hate the 11s. And
see, that's the thing, though. Like, everybody has to realize that your foot's different than mine. Right. You know, your body structure is different than mine. Everybody has something that fits their body type perfectly. Well, you know, close enough anyway, but... You know, what works for one person may not work for another. And that's, you know, that's kind of what being the community is all about, is is recognizing that everybody has their own style, their own thing. Yeah, honestly, I can't get down with 11s, to be honest. It's a little tall for me. It's got good cushion. I'll give it that. It is.
I mean, I don't think it's comfortable at all. Cause I think it's like it's a heavy shoe. I mean, I'm pretty sure every listener on this podcast is like, I'm tired of him talking about the Jordan 11s.
Hey, man, if that's your thing, whatever.
Cause I'm in the, I think they're overrated. Like that's my take on it.
The 11?
I think the 11 are overrated. They're coveted so highly. And
you said it was your favorite shoe.
No, I said the 4. The 4 is my favorite.
My mistake. Yeah. Are you excited about that Reimagined 4 next year?
I mean, if I see more looks of it, possibly. I actually really enjoy the satin ones, and I really wanted those.
Oh, really?
But they're not going up to 13 in men's size.
No, the no sizes on those.
And so, like, the Reimagined 4s, once I see, like, an actual mock of it, like, this is the way I look at sneaker media, right? You know, like, we get, you know, the Z sneaker heads they put their mocks up, you know, Mr. Unloved will show, like, you know, sneak peeks to stuff. And for me is, I treat it like it's a movie, right? I don't want to see the whole movie in the trailer. I don't want to know the beginning and end in the movie, trailer, right?
I got
so I avoid the trailers. As much as I avoid, you know, like mocks or like sneak peeks, like, for me, if the shoe is coming out in the next couple of months, I will look up and try to, and we're at the point where we have to be, like, well prepared in order for a release. So I'll do that. So I amp myself up. I'll do all the raffles, you know, whatever, and strike out a gajillion times. But the attempt was made. And, you know, if it's a shoe that I really enjoyed, then it's fine. I don't care what anybody else, what other influencers are being like, oh, you need to, you know, these are 5 shoes you need to buy this month. Yeah. And, like, you know, for me, it's all about, like, if the shoe hits me when I look at it,
exactly,
then I'm going to go for it.
So, yeah, man, that's what it's all about. Like, get what you like, get what you want. Like, I never know how to respond when I see people say, like, what about this shoe? What do you think of that shoe? I'm like, what do you mean? Like, if you like it, wear it. Like, if it's cool to you, it strikes you as nice, like, get off them, you know, get it. And if it's comfortable to you and you can get away with a cop, go for it, man, like have at it. But I like that. I like the analogy of the trailer. That's a good way to look at it. Maybe I'll try to pull it back a little bit. That's a cool way to do it.
For me, it was like during the pandemic, it was a lot of buying, right? And it was just like, I mean, everybody was coming up during that time. And so, you know, it made me, instead of me being like, all right, I'm going to try to get each drop each week, it was more of like, all right, let me see what I really want to spend my money at and let me see what I could save my money, you know, because like I've made a couple buys and I was like, I instantly sold them after. And I was just like, why did I even buy this? Why did I waste the money? Yeah, now I'm putting extra effort in order to sell the shoe when I should have just bought a shoe that I wanted. So,
absolutely, man. I know that feeling. I think we've all got that where the second you click purchase, you're like, why did I do that?
Like, I mean, you know, the off-white, the green off-white Air Force ones that dropped recently or like a couple months ago, right?
The mids or whatever?
Yeah, the Air Force One mids. I won them. And then 30 minutes, I was like, I'm canceling these. And I canceled them.
Yeah, I had it the other day. I was, I really like foam runners, right? And Undefeated was doing the, I forget what it was, like whatever variation of pan they were happening to do that day. But like, you know, for Undefeated, like it's a little bit of a process to try to get through. If you have Apple Pay, you can do it. And it can take you up to an hour to get through. And I found myself in there like 40 minutes in. And I'm like, what am I doing? I don't even really want this shoe. Like, what is wrong with me right now? And thankfully, I just put the phone down and like walked away and didn't come back to it. What am I doing right now?
Well, speaking of that, like when did you realize, you know, like, oh, my collection is like getting a little crazy? Was it like college, or like when did you start amassing past 3 or 4 or 5 pairs, or were you always like that?
No, I really did try to keep it clean for a long time. I worked in the restaurant industry, so I was, you know, usually working like 14 hours a day, 15 hours a day, and on my feet all day. So the little time that I had, I was just on my back, you know, laid out. And the sneakers at that point, I just wanted the comfiest things I could possibly wear. So I had probably like a handful of Roches that I ran through, you know, for my comfort days. And I've always been into Vans. So I always had, you know, a couple of those. Like I've always had at least like 3 or 4 Vans on hand. I think now I probably have like 6 or 8 Vans in the closet that I keep at all times. But I'd probably say, yeah, probably around the pandemic, just like you said, I probably started getting a little bit carried away. That's when, you know, like I said, I can have a little bit more flexibility these days. But I think even right now, I'm trying to kind of pare down my collection. So I've been spending a lot of time on Trade Block, see if I can do, you know, 2 shoes that are pretty good for one that's super fire. And, you know, it's weird because as you grow, you know, you get older, your style changes too, you know, like what you go after is starting to evolve. So now I even find myself, you know, buying into the dad shoe movement a little bit.
Before we jump back into the episode, I want to talk to you about Drops and Collect by Soul Savvy. With Drops and Collect, you are able to stay ahead of the game. Using Drops, you can enter raffles and set alerts for any and all restocks. It will help you never miss another release ever again. And after you cop some fresh kicks, use Collect to manage your collection. I'm also still in the process of adding my kicks to Collect. And I'm telling you, it takes some time. But what's really cool about Collect is that you can also make trades with no fees if you're a current member. But don't worry, if you aren't a member, you just have to pay a flat rate of $8. Now, how do you get to these apps? All you have to do is use the link in the description of this podcast or in the link tree for this podcast. Download these apps and grow your collection by helping the podcast. That's right. Just use the links in the description and start expanding your collection today.
You know, I blame Yeezys on, but, you know, that's, you know, it's weird the kind of things that take your attention. And you know, but to tell you the truth, if I had a bigger closet, I would probably just keep going.
I mean, no, I feel you. Cause like right now, my closet's packed up, right?
I probably got like, I don't know, maybe like 25 pairs in the house, another 20 in the storage unit. And if I have more storage, I'm lying, man. Let me shut up.
I mean, I'm definitely close to 200 right now. So
Yeah, I do try to pare it down because I really do try to make a conscious effort to only buy something that I'm going to wear. You know, I have a rule, like even with clothes, Like if I haven't worn it in a year, gotta go. Mm-hmm. You know, like it's just something that's just taking up space. Yeah, it might be cool. It might be something that you hunted after. Like if somebody gifted me something, I'm never gonna get rid of it. I'm never gonna sell it. You know, I'll just keep it there. But that's my general rule of thumb is that if I haven't worn something in a year, gotta go. You know, with sneakers, I try to wear everything at least like once a month, maybe mm-hmm. once every 2 months. But yeah, I don't know that I could ever get to that point. I'd be intimidated by that, man. If I walk in and saw 200 pairs, I wouldn't know what to do with it. I have a hard enough time getting dressed as
is. I'm like, yeah, I mean, it does get like, for me, it's like, it has to be a feeling of like, yeah, I'm gonna wear these and then I pull them out. So
yeah. You build your outfit around that.
Yeah. It was definitely, I mean, the idea of just having so many shoes was cool to me, but then once I got towards the hundreds, I was like, all right, this is getting a little crazy. So I would sell like 5 pairs that I wasn't wearing. Uh-huh. And then I would end up buying another 5. So it just kept growing. It just kept going. And then I'd have to hide boxes. Like, yeah, it was like, you know, so you talked about, you know, working in the food industry. And so like, why did you switch careers? Where was the moment that you decided, you know, this is not for me anymore?
It's horrible, man. It's a tough industry to survive in. You know, like I said, my dad got me into waiting, you know, being a dishwasher when I was like 12 years old. And, you know, I did everything from washing dishes to being a line cook to, you know, moving out to the front of the house. I ended up going to UNLV for hospitality management.
Oh, okay. You know, I was going to ask if you went to UNLV for like journalism.
I went to hospitality management. It's one of the best schools in the world for that. Mm-hmm. I was able to work for some really, really big time chefs. And, you know, at a time I laid out a set of goals for myself that I wanted to do when I was waiting tables. You know, mm-hmm. I wanted to work for like a Michelin star restaurant. I wanted to work for celebrity chefs. And I had checked the box on every single thing.
Oh, I need to know. Give me the rundown. Where did you work? Who did you work with?
So I worked, I got really, really lucky, man. I got really, really lucky. Literally like 2 days after I moved to Vegas, my best friend had moved out there like a year before I did to mm-hmm. go to school. So I went out there the next year, was crashing on his couch. He wasn't even back out for the semester yet. And I just happened to walk into Caesar's Palace mm-hmm. and walked into the first restaurant that I saw to fill out an application. And it was Spago at Caesar's Palace. And the general manager just happened to be there while the hostess went to the restroom. Mm-hmm. He interviewed me on the spot and I got a job working for Wolfgang Puck after I was in this city for like 36 hours.
That's crazy.
People hated me.
Why?
Like I tell other people like, how'd you do that? Like it was just right place, right time, man. Like that's all there really was to it. So I got to work for him for a few years at a couple of different restaurants. I opened a restaurant for Mario Batali.
Wow.
At the Venetian. I worked at the Venetian for a little bit.
Oh wait, am I still supposed to say wow to that?
He was a wild dude, man. I'll tell you
that. The reports have said such as what as well. He disappeared. They probably bronzed his orange Crocs, and that was it, man.
I saw a couple of those, and I was like, yeah, that sounds about right. But he was cool. You know, he was good to me. Him and Joe mm-hmm. Bastianis, they were very good to me. Gave me a great opportunity. I worked at the Venetian, Caesars, the Bellagio for a little bit. Mandalay Bay, and then I moved out west to San Diego, and mm-hmm. I was working with the Hard Rock Hotel for a little bit, for the Hilton Hotels, mm-hmm. and then I moved back to D.C. into D.C. I was right in D.C. proper when I first got here, mm-hmm. and I was like, I'd had enough, man. Like, it's tough. Like, if you want to, when you're getting a little bit older, maybe you want to have a family, and like, restaurant is, it's nights, it's weekends, it's holidays, it's all the hours of the day where you want to hang out with people and do stuff, and I knew that really wasn't really the game. Like, it really wasn't going to be possible. Mm-hmm. And I had met somebody at the time who had given me an opportunity to get out. And I was kind of on the fence. Like, can I really walk away from this? Like, this is all I know.
Right.
I had done it at the highest levels. I considered myself good at it, but I knew I wanted to get out. And the last goal that I had set for myself that I hadn't achieved was that I wanted to serve dinner to the president of the United States. Mm. I didn't care who it was. And I didn't care about politics. You know, mm-hmm. it's like, serve dinner to the president. Like, that'd be pretty cool, right? And I was interviewing for this job. I had their offer on the table to get out of the restaurant business. And it was one of my last nights. I'm still kind of on the fence. And I know the Secret Service came into our restaurant.
Wow.
And I mean, these guys stick out like a sore thumb as much as they try. Mm-hmm. They grabbed me. I was the assistant general manager at the time. And they're like, hey, Vice President Biden's coming in for dinner. He was vice president at the time for Biden. He sat down with his granddaughters, had a nice little meal. You know, we made each other laugh a little bit. And I was like, you know what? I want to serve dinner to the vice president, to the president. I have a shot to get out the door. And the vice president just walked in like, close it off, man. I'm out.
I guess the perfect word would probably just be kismet. Like you were just like, you know, you're just like, you know, I'm about to get out of here, but I have that one last thing. And then the universe was just like, here you go. We're going to get you as close to the last thing as
possible. Exactly. I'm like, you know what? That is close enough, man. I'll take that. I'll take that as a dub for sure. Call it a moral victory if you want to, but that was good with me.
What was that job that you picked up after?
I ended up actually, I mean, you know, in DC, everybody pretty much works for the government. So I was a contractor at the time doing like, I became a project manager and got out of it and just used my abilities to, you know, think on my feet and try to smooth talk people that are upset about stakes and turn that into, turn that into some project management skills. It's funny, the restaurant industry teaches you a lot.
Yeah.
Like, you learn a lot about numbers, about, you know, hospitality for sure, how to talk to people, how to defuse situations. It really, really is an industry that can put out some really well-rounded people.
Yeah. I mean, I never worked in the hospitality industry, but I did work at a candy store, and that's as close as I can get.
It's kind of the same thing, man. Yeah.
I dealt food, and it's funny because like when I was younger, when I was younger, I was always saying like I would never work in a restaurant. I would never work in a restaurant, right? But like once you get the opportunity to be like, yo, you can make more money if you do something else. And then they hit you up with this, like, yo, I got this opportunity for you. You're quick to jump on it, especially because I was, I was heavy into, I was working at GameStop at the time. And I was, my whole check would be one sneaker, basically.
you
get paid two checks every month. So one check was a sneaker and the other check was my phone bill. And I would just keep alternating. And then I would try to sell sneakers and, you know, it massed into this crazy collection. But the,
you know, during that time, I was hardcore for the right shoes to work in, man, because that was brutal. And it was right around the time when like those Lunar Lawn, like dress shoes were coming out.
Oh, yeah.
There was a Nike Cole Haan.
Yeah, I have a pair.
It wasn't the one that had like the Lunar Lawn. It like actually looked like a legit dress shoe.
Oh, okay.
Whoosh, and like the Cole Haan logo on the bottom. Mm-hmm. And it was by far the most comfortable thing to actually
wear.
Once I finally wore the pair out in like 6 months, I hunted all over for another pair. Like I was on eBay looking for it. I went to outlets. I was everywhere looking for it. Like I could never find anything but that one. But it was similar. Like, you know, the same tricks that you know, you used to try to buy sneakers. Here I am trying to find dress shoes.
Yeah. So then like, you know, project management, how did you end up at Soul? What is it again? Site Direct? Sorry, my bad. I forgot the name of it.
Site Supply?
Site Supply. There we go. My bad.
Yeah. So I think, I joined a cook group. At the time, my wife and I were planning to get married, so I was trying to make some money to, you know, to try to help us pay for the wedding. Like, what do I know how to do outside of work? I'm like, well, I know sneakers pretty well. So I had actually joined a couple of different cook groups at the time. And, you know, Site Supply was one that I had been with for a couple of years. I've since stopped reselling just because it's just,
it's a pain in the ass.
It's a headache.
I don't like reselling. Yeah.
It's no joke. Like, you got to be on it every minute. And nowadays, like, you got to be tied to your phone every minute of every day. Saturday mornings going out to make pickups and stuff. But, you know, it can be good money. It is. Like, it helped me pay for our wedding, buy my wife a wedding dress, which I'm internally grateful for. And, you know, Site Supply put up a post that they were looking for somebody on their website team to write some blogs. And that it was something I kind of had the itch to get into a little bit. Mm-hmm. And so I hit them up. And, you know, Mark and Swift were kind enough to give me the opportunity. And I've been working with them for probably about 6 months now, and it's awesome. Like, they're great people to work for. Like, I love the opportunity, and you know, they kind of give me fair rein to like, hey, you know, sneakers, we trust you're going to find us good stories. have at it. You know, just tell us what it is going to be at the end of the day. We know you write well. So I got myself the Grammarly premium subscription. And So it just kind of evolved from, you know, reselling to pay for my wedding to now growing what I hopefully is a flourishing blog.
No, yeah. I mean, I got to read some of it, but like, what was some of your favorite, or what are your go-to if somebody was just like, oh, you know, I want to read some of your pieces, but like, what are your go-tos?
Yeah, obviously, you know, there's the one that pays the bills for the website, which is, you know, the Nike Vomero is coming out in blue and black, and the Vomero 5 is coming out in yellow, and it's coming out in blue. And like, I told those guys, like, I'm not writing another piece about Bad Bunny. Like, I'm sorry. I can't write about another color in the Bad Bunny campus. I can't do it. So I really do enjoy writing the longer feature pieces. Mm-hmm. There's definitely a couple that stick out in my mind. They asked me to write a piece that was like kind of a two-part one, a longer feature about the history of Kith and what they've grown into, and really reaching into the backstory of Ronnie Fieg and how he's grown that into a worldwide empire. Like, it really, really resonated with me a lot. Like, you know, hearing the way that he came up and, you know, it was a cool story because he was the same kind of like me. Like, he wanted all the Jordans and all that stuff. And at the time he said his mother couldn't get those things for him. Mm-hmm. And she got him the ASICS Gel Light 3. And he's like, here, these look cool. And instead of, you know, sulking and being down about it, like, he decided just to rock it, like, be about it. And next thing you know, he's like meeting reps from ASIC and making his own collabs off that Gel Light 3. And now he's launched an entire global empire into that Gel Light 3. So I really, really enjoyed digging down into that story and finding out the details of it and really watching the story of how Kith has kind of grown into this worldwide conglomerate. Mm-hmm. Another one was a Supreme piece about how Nike and Supreme kind of came together and kind of blew up the sneaker scene. I've always kind of liked Supreme, you know, always been into SBs and learning about the different things that they've done with Nike and how there was some friction in that relationship for sure. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, when the Dunks first came out, when they had the gold stars on them, Supreme originally wanted those to be swooshes.
Yeah.
And Nike was like, nah, man, we're not down with that. We don't want a part of it. And so Supreme pretty much backed off the collaborations for like 3 years. Like, okay, fine. We don't want to do it. And then when they did the Jewel Swoosh and the second release of the Dunks, everybody's like, what are you doing? These are stupid. And then to find out that, you know, that was basically their middle finger to everybody. Like, yeah, this is what we do. You don't like them? Yeah, here it is. Come get it. And like, I respect that. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I respect it. You know, you're going to stay true to who you are. But those are cool. And I've actually enjoyed they let me write guides on how to have some success on the sneakers app, how to have some success on the Confirmed app, because I really do pride myself on my ability to get sneakers manually. You know, we've now moved out to doing the Twitter spaces to try to help people live in real time, where I teach them some tricks of the trade. And, you know, the first thing, like, there's no cheat code. Like, there's no cheat code for the sneakers app. You know, we've all seen the force close your app three times, click here, swipe down, swipe left. Like, no, none of it works. But, you know, there's things you can do. There are things you can do to improve your odds. There's different things that you can do to troubleshoot, like when the app craps out, like it does seemingly for every major drop. There's different things you can do. So I really enjoy trying to teach people some of those ways, you know, I learned the hard way so that they don't have to, kind of thing. So that's been really, really, really good for me to be able to kind of share that with some people, for sure.
No, yeah. I mean, I heard it was like you talked, I forgot what release it was, but you were putting up a space together. I didn't join, but like it made me like come up with like why help everybody when you're trying to get the shoe yourself?
Honestly, like, you know, people have helped me along the way, people have helped me along the way. So I figured the least I can do is try to pass on some of the knowledge that I've gained. And, you know, somewhere along the line, people were kind enough to tell me like, hey, try this, try that. You know, I enjoy trying to talk to people. Like, I enjoy being in front of a crowd. You know, I don't mind. I'm not one of the people that gets bashful about public speaking. You know, the restaurant industry will teach that to you as well.
Oh, yeah,
you're going to learn how to put on a story real quick. But I just enjoy it. Like, you know, Yuming and I talked about that. Yuming, the founder of Sneaker News, you know, he and I talked about that. Like, how can we actually try to help people? Because we kind of harken back to the old Nike talk days, where somebody would say like, yo, Supreme just restocked Dunks down on 15th Street. And this store just did that. This store just did that. Like, how can we do that in a world that's all about bots? in the sneaker world nowadays. Like, how can we actually help people do that? So I've just, you know, tried to help some people along. I actually spent the last day and a half trying to make a little video of how to get through Undefeated, you know, manually. If you have Apple Pay, Undefeated is, they do a good job. They do a really good job combating bots, and it can work for you, but it can be a process, man, for sure. But, you know, and just trying to tell people, like, I think a lot of people underestimate how much effort they really put in. You know, when I tell people, like, I'd show people, like, what I do, I'm like, yep, I got 5 sneaker accounts, I got 4 JD accounts, I got 4 phones, 2 iPads, and my desktop going right now. And they're like, that'll drive you nuts. Like, that'll give you a headache. And people are like,
you're looking like that guy with the all the phones on the bike.
Yeah. But you know, doing that, yeah, it's a lot. And my wife wants to kill me half the time. Mm-hmm. But like, I got pretty good success. You know, I've learned my way to kind of get pretty much any sneaker that I want for retail.
I mean, it's tough. I'm also just, I'm retail gang. I don't pay resale. I just don't. It's more of like, if I really want the shoe and I struck out, like, it's mostly just SBs that I would do that for, or like, yeah, I think it's mostly just SBs, maybe like old Kiss stuff. But like, I don't count old sneakers as like paying resale. It's like, if, cause like, I'll find a shoe from 2008 and I would pay under retail for it. So I don't consider it the same. But it's like, I'm strictly like, any new release, I'm only paying retail. Like,
yeah, for the most part. Yeah.
I don't think there's a shoe, because the way sneakers are released now, it makes me not want to, but like, spend the extra money to pay somebody else's bills. Because
what do you mean the way they're released now?
Like, they're so often that I can just wait for the next one. You know, like that yeah, that sure. money that's going to this shoe is. It's going to get spent. It's just not going to get spent now. It's going to get spent later when another shoe that I want comes out. So,
yep. Probably something very similar coming down the line.
Yeah. But I mean, the last thing I bought were the Faust SBs on eBay, and I did pay resale, but I had a gift card from eBay. So I had I paid retail basically for it. But yeah, I mean, I can't see myself spending $400, $500 for a pair of shoes, you know, especially because I do wear my shoes. Like, I preach wear your kicks to everybody. So yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. I usually don't either. Like, sometimes I'll, you know, get on eBay and, you know, you miss a release and you can get it when that post-drop dip comes in and you can get it for $20 to $30 above retail. I don't sweat that. I think I've only paid like $400 or $500 once. But yeah, for the most part, I just do, you know, if I can get it a couple bucks over retail, I'll do that. But not much else for the most part.
So I'm very curious about, how did you end up with like becoming the community manager? Like, what was it, just like they hit you up? What did you do? What was so special about you that they hit you up about it?
I think I always like being part of something from the beginning.
Yeah.
And I think I was probably like one of the first 100 people in that Discord. So I always kind of felt a sense of pride to it. And it was kind of like, you know, I'd always just try to help people top manual. Like, I'd be dropping my tips in there, you know, do this, go to this site, don't waste your time on that site. And I think from there, they asked me to be a mod. And, you know, that went on for a little bit. And they had a community manager position come available. And it got filled. I had actually called Yuming about it, and because I was interested in it. And I didn't know that it got filled. He's like, hey, we're literally about to announce somebody tomorrow. And that kid bounced after like a week. So, you know, the next
day. He couldn't handle it.
I think he just had a lot going on, you know, underestimated or overestimated the kind of time he had available.
Yeah.
And, he, you know, he hit me up and was like, hey, you know, I'd like you to do it. At the time, he was actually working with Stadium Goods as well. And he had a position available where he was doing, he was trying to source a community manager for Stadium Goods at the same time. And he was like, you know, I'd like you to do one of these positions. Like, which one would you rather do? And, you know, Stadium Goods is a big name, but, you know, being in sneaker news since day one, since Jump Street, I was like, yeah, man, I want to be in there. Like, you know, I've seen this thing since day one. Like, I want to help it grow. And it's been really, really cool to see what we've been able to evolve into.
No, yeah. I mean, you know, I gotta jump back in there more, but,
yeah,
you know, I, I mean, I was there early as well, but I'm just terrible at Discord. Like in terms of just like I have my own, but then but it's like when it comes to anybody like others that I join, I'm like I'll just have it on the side and I don't like I won't go back until somebody pays. Like I get like a everyone ping.
There's a lot. Like and that, I mean, the one thing that's cool about the Sneaker News Group is that it is just a community. You know, it's just a bunch of sneakerheads. It's not where everybody's talking about resell this and resell that. It's, you know, a lot of people just showing off their kicks. Talking about sneakers, talking about what's coming up, what they like. Hey, I dropped this on my shoe. How do I clean it? Mm-hmm. Anybody do custom work? It's just cool to see that kind of community that we've been able to build there where it's really not about resale at all.
That, I mean, that's dope. Yes, I will move it up in the stacks of Discords I'm in.
Well, shoot me your, if you got an NFT wallet, man, shoot me your address. I'll slide you over one of our NFTs so you get the
That's sick. Community. Yeah, that'll be dope. My bad. I had a question and I freaking lost it, but
it's all good.
This is what it was. What made you want to be super active on Twitter? Because I feel like that's like the spot for you. Like you're literally tweeting I've seen you tweet every day consecutively. and I was like, damn. But like, cause like I'll jump on and I'll do my little ramblings and then I'll hop off because I guess I'm social media inept. I want to say because I'll be like really into it for like an hour and then I'll be like, man, I don't want to do this anymore. And then that's it. Like, I don't come back to it for like 5 days, but yeah. What is it about Twitter for you?
I don't know. Honestly, like I just enjoy talking about sneakers. Like I really do. Like, I don't know what it is. Like, I've always tried to, you know, pride myself on staying modern, you know, with the new technology, whether it be social media or with NFTs. Like I always try to maintain a working knowledge of what, you know, the generation that's younger than me is into. So I can try to, you know, be cool, you know, try to be into it. You know, I'm going to have kids. Mm-hmm. I want to know what's going on in the world and figuring out where the world is going to so I can not get left behind. Like, I don't want to be my father trying to figure out how to do a voicemail on his phone. You know what I mean? But I don't know. I really don't know how it is I got into what really made me push towards Twitter as over to Instagram. But I think, you know, Twitter just feels like a little bit more of a community to me. You know, I think that's probably it. You know, you have one-on-one interactions with people with Instagram. I think it's all just based around the picture and everybody's just talking about one picture. Whereas on Twitter, you know, you can actually have a conversation about something with people. And I don't know, I may be way off about that, but that's just, it kind of feels like that way to me. So, so that's why I kind of chose to focus on that.
No, yeah. Is your sneaker community more online or do you get to, you know, get a little bit of taste out of the DC area? Wait, you're DC, right?
I mean, honestly, like I live a little bit in the cut, man. I do, so it's a little bit of a drive for me to get into DC. And like, man, DC is savage with sneakers, man. Like, there's resellers everywhere you turn into. But like, I always go to SneakerCon every year. You know, I got a couple of shops that I frequent locally where I know some people around town. But yeah, like I said, I kind of live in the sticks, so I don't even try to go for in-store raffles anymore. Like the closest sneaker store to me is like a solid 45 minutes. So it's gotta be something tight for me to want to go for a raffle.
Yeah, for real. But you mentioned SneakerCon though.
Raffles.
Yeah. Well, what's your experience with SneakerCon?
SneakerCon's cool. That's another thing that, you know, Sneaker News started, you know, was a co-founder of it. Yuming was a co-founder of that. And I think I went last year for the first time and it's cool. You know, honestly, like I go back and forth on it. Like I like it, you know, I like the aspect of it, just being able to get out and, you know, mingle with some like-minded people, see some really, really cool stuff, you know, see some stuff that you might not have the chance to see in hand. But also like at the same time, it's like once you're halfway through the room, it can get a little repetitive, I feel, but there's always like one thing that you walk away from like, damn, I got to see that in hand. That was crazy. Like last year, I got to see it was a Freddy Krueger dunk that somebody had in hand. And this year, it was, remember the movie White Man Can't Jump?
Of course, yeah.
Dude had the Billy Hole, like the Air Force, the Force pump that was like 3 feet tall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So those dropped 2016, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was like $300 for them, I think. And I was like
up to my forearm.
Yeah, yo. I mean, but yo, Yo, imagine having those and be like, you know what? I'm gonna pull those out now. And like, you, well, for me, it'd be like, I'll be on the train and I have the pump with me. I'll be like, yeah, that's right. You know, just pump it up in the back.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I think one dude had like it was probably like a 9-10 size 13. Mm-hmm. And I was like, man, if that was even close to my size, like I'd think about it. But yeah, I gotta have to wear a lot of socks to fit a 13.
I mean, I'm a 13. You could have got them from me.
Yeah. I wish I knew.
I'm pretty sure you're probably charging like a grand for them or something.
Not even. I think he had them at like, I think it was under 400. I think it was like 350, 380, something like that. But it was cool. Like I hadn't seen that shoe in so long.
Oh, yeah.
Like Billy Ho. Like as soon as I saw it, it was cool. I was like seeing the trading pit too. Like, you know, I like to see the people that kind of, you know, didn't want to opt for the table, but still want to try to move some pairs. So that's cool to see. And like, you know, you see the backdoor pairs going on the outskirts of the, on the outskirts of the arena is pretty cool to see, you know, seeing all of the early pairs. Somebody had a pair of April SBs, you know, the new ones. And I grabbed them. I was checking them out. I turned them around. It's like, I was like, bro, there's a stain on there. He's like, yo, the dude who works here grabbed them after eating Doritos. I'm about to kill him.
Oh, my God.
I was like, and you still want to get out of my car? I was like, there's Doritos on these, bro. Get out of here.
He's like, no, I'll wipe off. It'll wipe off.
Yeah, okay. But this is cool to be around like-minded people. I always like seeing the eBay people. Like I wanted to, you know, see if I could get like a little stage with the eBay folks to kind of, you know, learn how to legit check a little bit better.
Yeah. I mean, legit checking back in the day was definitely an art form. And now it's like insanely hard. But
the reps have gotten so good nowadays, man. It's crazy.
I can't even like me going. I'm like super lurker in like all like the I'm in rep Reddit, I'm in like Discords, right? And then you also have, you know, your rep TikToks, but I don't really mess with that. But I will look and make sure that, you know, like, oh, what shoes are being repped. And then, you know, but for me it's like but that's only for like if I'm really considering to buy a shoe on eBay, right? And then so mostly I spend a lot of time just like lurking on rep stuff because when
that's smart
because I just like to know when if or just what shoes are being replicated, you know, like or you know whatever they're calling it. But if I think that like I do it mostly just to be, you know, evading sneakers on like eBay and just trying not to get caught, because like I mean, back in the day, like when you saw a fake, it was like you can tell it was fake, you know? Yeah. And then now people are just like, I think people are just hyping up the idea of just being able to get a pair of sneakers that you really sought after because of the hype, or mostly definitely because of the hype. And they're trying to justify that it's okay to wear these. But then when you're like, but did you want the shoe or did you want the notoriety? The notoriety with the shoe. And it's just especially when you have like brands like Amon Menir who put like a ton into their story, and then you're like, yeah, I'm gonna get the rep version of the Amon Menir threes. Like
it's just so disrespectful to the artist. You know, it's funny, like when I was at SneakerCon, like I'm by far a novice at, you know, spotting reps, and like there was a bunch of stuff where I was like, yeah, nope. We're moving right on past this table. One thing I noticed was the, you know, the year of the rabbit, Jordan Lowe's. I saw a few of those. I'm like, yeah, nah, this ain't even the same bomb on the back here. Like, y'all, the spacing is way too perfect to be real. Like, yeah, it's sad. Like, it ain't for me. Like, you know, if anybody else wants to do it, you know, there's plenty of places out there for you. But I'll tell you what, the Sneaker News Collector Club is not the place for you.
I just think that, I mean, because I treat it, I mean, there's people who say that sneaker culture doesn't exist. There's people who say sneaker culture is pivotal. And for me, it's like I grew up in the culture of sneakers and learning about, like, you know, it's more than just having the shoes. It's
yeah.
For me, it's like, and it's with anything, like even, you know, with hip hop, like it's like It's like, if you have an appreciation for the art form, you don't want to be like, you know what, Milli Vanilli it and be like, you know, like, you don't want to be lip syncing and pretending that you down with it when you're not, like, you know, like that's how I treat sneakers and sneakers.
Yeah, I get it. Like, you know, I understand the mentality of like, hey, you know, I can't pay $1,700 for the Travis Scott's. I'm just going to get them from overseas for a couple $100. I'm like, I understand the mentality. Like I do, but it's like, man, you're literally, it's so disrespectful to what's being done. Like to the artists, the people that put their hard work into it. It's just, it's tough for me to justify. Like, and it never be for me. Like, that's all I'm going to say. It ain't for me.
No, I mean, hopefully, I mean, I do want to go to a sneaker con. I do want to see, cause like I went to one when it was first started. Right. And it was cool. Like, and I talked about this the last episode, like I really enjoyed like when a convention or, you know, cause I go to ComplexCon every year, but it's like you get activations. Like, I don't want it to just be like, oh, I'm just there to look at tables and see it. Like for me, it's supposed to be like an experience of like, you know, this is the culture come to life. Like you know, and I think, and not to be like super hypercritical of it, but then, you know, you have these people that are doing mystery boxes just to make money and come up back, you know, like, and then you also have people just, you know, they brought the sneakers and they're like, they're just like, all right, let me just try to get as much as I can for this shoe. You know, like it's just it's a bunch of preying on people with, you know, people that really want, preying on people that really want something really bad. And it's not conducive to creating a community, because if I sold you a sneaker for the high, do you think when you go back home, right, and you go, let me look up how much this really costs, like, or whatever, this guy really said, you know, blah blah blah, and he put like an extra $50 on top, and then you go back and you're like, man, I could have gotten this for, you know, $100 under retail. How does that look for somebody who is like brand new into this, or like, or even, you know, starting out, who just could have bought two pairs of sneakers, but you took the other pair away from them because you wanted more money for yourself?
I feel like bad for the moms and dads. Like the mom, and, you know, the mom that's following around her kid who's 13, 14 year old and, you know, wants a pair of foam runners, and somebody's charging them $400 for it. And like, I had that same experience. I was at Flight Club. Like, I went to Flight Club in New York for the first time a couple of years ago. And it's like, I'm looking at the shoe and it's $450. I go on their website, it's $330. I'm like, you got 2-day shipping, bro. Like, why wouldn't I just save myself $110 just to have this a day earlier and walk out the store with it? Like,
yeah.
Yeah. I don't, even when I was reselling, like, I would never try to beat people over the head too hard with it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just not like that for me, you know?
Yeah. But, you know, as we're dwindling down to the end of the podcast, I do ask another question. And that question deals with you having to just put yourself in the position. All right. So I want you to think about, you know, the moment where you're about to open up the box for the, let's go with the first Bo Jacksons, right? And now you're you from this age right now. You go back in time. You're standing behind yourself, your younger self, as they're about to open that box. What would you tell them?
First of all, that Bo Jackson never even made it to the box because I kept it on the second I tried it on, wore it out the store. But I try to tell myself to enjoy it a little bit, you know, because at then, you know, you're young, you know, you just want to walk around, run around town, you know, near that age, you probably, at least me, like we got one pair of shoes for the school year and that was about it. If we're lucky, maybe halfway through the school year, you beat it up, you get to wear another one. But like, just appreciate what you have, you know, appreciate that your parents put the work in, you know, to get you in that position where you could actually open it and really, really treat it like an experience. Like somebody put a lot of work into that shoe. Somebody sat behind a table and sketched it out. Somebody designed it. Somebody put a lot of effort into a factory to make that shoe for you. And you know, one thing that just happened recently that kind of really, really taught me that lesson was that Kith Mystery Box, man, the X-Men pack. I have never had so much fun as a sneakerhead in my life. Like that was so awesome the way they rolled that out. Like they really, really pinged at our nostalgia and it really showed me like, man, this is what sneakers are supposed to be about. You know what I mean? It's not about like copping every pair or talking trash to somebody because they don't have this pair or you got this colorway or that collab or whatever. It was like the thrill of it was back again. Like for a while, you know, for the past year, I was getting a little I wouldn't say downtrodden, but like I didn't really get much. Like there wasn't much that was really piquing my interest over the course of the past year. But like that one really, really got me back to like, all right, this is what it's about. You know, enjoy it. It's fun. It's not just a sneaker. It's supposed to be like this. This is how it's supposed to be. And you know, props to Kith for putting that together and reigniting that fire in me.
Yeah, and props to Kith for breaking my heart because I struck on it twice. Struck out
twice.
So. Really? So way to rub it in at the last, last part of the episode.
Sorry, man.
Man, I really wanted a pair of Ghosts. I'm a longtime Kith wearer. I used to go to Atrium and just hang out in the back.
Really?
Like I was cool with everybody at the store before they moved. I'm a big like Ronnie and Kith fan. I love the history behind it. Love what it represents, and I love that, you know, it created this new way of just like fashion accepting streetwear as part of it, you know. And Virgil expanded on it.
You really can credit Ronnie with the birth of streetwear. Like you really can. It's an argument for sure, but yeah, it's really cool. Their history. I heard that they're actually reopening the Atrium store. They're actually rebuilding it and putting something else in there. Is that true?
I mean, yeah, because it's been closed. I was going to say reopen it. I was like, no, it's definitely closed. Like,
But I heard that Ronnie has owned the building the entire time, and they're actually.
I didn't know that. I mean, maybe he bought it after he bought the building that they opened the new Kith in it. So maybe they're doing something else, but I haven't heard anything. Like, I haven't been down there in a while. So, once they built the bigger building. Everybody that I knew that worked at Kith did not work at Kith anymore. So I was just there like, all right, whatever. Like I won one raffle on my birthday like 5 years ago. And like, I was just like, all right, the Levi 4s, the white pair.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So, nice. But yeah, man, you know, thank you so much for jumping on, Uncle Chrissy.
Hey man, thank you for having me, man. I really appreciate it.
You didn't plug anything. So plug all your stuff right here. I'll plug it in the intro as well.
You know, if you want to, drop me a follow on Twitter, at @Uncle_Chrissy, drop me up on YouTube at @Uncle.Chrissy. And that's pretty much it. You know, like you said, social media can be a grind and I do spend a lot of my time on Twitter. So I want to try to grow the community on there as much as I can. Eventually I want to try to build up the YouTube. So drop me a sub on there. And again, if you want to jump in the Sneaker News Collector Club, it's a really cool community. You know, grab me on Twitter, shoot me a DM. I'll be glad to shoot everybody an invite. We do Twitter spaces. We're about to start a new Meet the Collector series where it'll be, kind of like a mock podcast doing the Twitter VC where we, you know, pick one of our collectors every month, bring them on, talk about some pairs that they have in the closet. So, I want to see you in there real soon, bro.
I'll be in there. You know? Yeah. Everybody jump in. Tell them that, you know, I sent you this episode. You found your way here because it's an episode. And for everybody out there, you know what we say every week, wear your kicks.
Wear them, man. Wear them. Peace.